560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Well, hello, Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond. How are you doing today? I hope you are great. This is a day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad. I'm joined by the Dream Team. The Holy Rollers. Is that a good... Do y'all like those nicknames?
Sure, why not?
Okay. The God Squad. How's that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I got Dave Savage and Allison DeLuhl with me. Just the best of the best. And before we tee it off, why don't we do the most important thing we can do, which is open with prayer. I'll just say in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. On Amen. This... Feast Day of St. Denis. Heavenly Father, you who walk us through the fire and flood, guiding us... Oh, sorry, not a feast day. My bad. But he's still honored today. So let me start back. Heavenly Father, you who walk us through the fire and flood, guiding us with your steadfast love, we thank you for the witness of St. Denis, who fearlessly spread the light of your gospel even to death. As you promised through the prophet Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Grant us the courage of St. Denis to walk boldly in faith, shining the light of Christ before others, that they may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, St. Denis.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. Amen. Did you have a good day yesterday? Everyone doing all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good talk, Dave. Thank you.
Yes. No, it was nice. An experience that haven't happened in a while. My oldest is going to be trying out for basketball at her school, so we went and got a physical. So good. That was fun. Brought back memories of when I was involved in sports in school, having to get an official physical. Because, you know, from now, it's really haven't had to until you start doing bigger sports. So that was very fun.
What grade is she in?
She's in ninth grade.
So she went to physical, she got steroid tested, all that stuff that they need to do at that age.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So no, that was a lot of fun. And then we went to my nephew's baseball game. His arm has been hurting him, but all the family was there. So a family reunion
cool.
in Canton, which was beautiful.
Wow, and she plays basketball. That's what her main sport is, your daughter.
And flag football, yeah. Both
Man,
those.
Women's basketball is taking over.
Yes, yes. We love watching Caitlin Clark. Too bad Fever is out, but again, she's amazing.
Well, yeah, I heard NCAA college women's basketball for the first time in history outperformed the men's finals game.
Wow.
Hey, it's taking over, man. It's moving and grooving. So one thing, I picked out this verse today that I think kind of speaks to, it's just a beautiful verse. And it's not, you know, a lot of Catholics, we don't always quote Old Testament, but I like this one. Zechariah 4:6, this is the Lord's message to Zerubbabel. Not by an army nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Just a beautiful reminder, right? Mm-hmm. Lord can carry us. And yesterday, I had a carrying moment as well. I got the honor of bringing a dear friend of mine communion. He was in his 80s. He was actually my RCIA sponsor. He broke his hip and is in a rehabilitation facility.
Yeah.
And just the grace of knowing that while I was driving there, because it took me an hour and 45 minutes with Atlanta traffic, boy.
Well, plus, we've got extra from the hurricane, people fleeing the hurricane.
Okay, maybe
more
that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what is going on here? But, you know, traffic can test your spirituality, but there's nothing like having Jesus in the car to make sure your vocabulary is in the right place. but it was an honor, too, to know... You know, my car, I'm like, this is a mobile tabernacle right now. You know, I get all fired up, but, you know, just the fact that knowing, no, you're in adoration right now. You can be at peace. And I did feel a little bad because my delayed arrival was keeping him from eating dinner. But we did land properly and in time, and praise God, he received communion. And it was a rather short visit, but that's the most important thing we can do, bring Jesus to others. So very grateful to be a conduit to Christ's goodness in that moment.
And bring others to Jesus.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And you're bringing back a memory. Years ago when I was at Christ the King, I actually brought communion to the patients at Peter. Piedmont Hospital. So I remember, you know, taking Jesus with me, and same thing, as I'm driving, I'm like, wow, the Lord is right here with me.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Bodily with
me. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? It's this the time of peace and joy. I think just the drive there. And I'll say one last thing. This person sponsored me in RCIA, led me to Christianity, just a huge grace in my life. And the kind of just how things come full circle. Here I am bringing Jesus to the man who actually brought me to Jesus.
Beautiful.
That's great.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, we have a great show today. Brother Mark from the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers is going to be chatting with us about, you know, his life and that wonderful monastery we have out there in Conyers. Father Adam Blatt's going to be with us. He is going to be reflecting on today's word. St. Denis, that's going to be our saint of the day with Chuck Persner, our parishioner from St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. And then also Ruth O'Neill, she is going to be talking to us about boundaries in marriage today. So that is going to be a great conversation.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Brother Mark, a Trappist monk from the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers, such a special and sacred place that has really touched my soul over the years and also played a very critical role in my conversion to Catholicism. Brother Mark, we're so glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I know Allison has been asking about the history of this monastery. Really, one of the crown jewels we have in our diocese that people might not know is out there for rest and refuge. Can you give us a little bit of a history about the monastery and what draws people to visit?
Well, the monks came here in 1944. Right after they came here, they lived in a barn, which is now our museum. They built a wooden monastery, a temporary monastery, and then they moved into the monastery we are now in 1960. There's only a couple of monks left who actually lived in the old monastery.
Wow. You know,
they were World War II generation. So when I entered here in 1971. There's only one monk left from that time, and it's Father Methodius Telnak. He's 97 years old.
Wow. Over the years, have you guys always offered retreats and really been this local pilgrimage location?
Well, yes. They always had a retreat house. Matter of fact, I was the last one to stay in the old retreat house in the old monastery. I came here in 1968 when I was in the Navy, and I stayed for a month, and I was the last one to stay there. I was here for a full month, but I lived in a monastery itself. And then this monastery opened January 31st, 1968, and I was here for the opening ceremony, and I left the next day to go back to the Navy.
Oh, how?
Did you have a stirring in your soul? I mean, were you intending on coming back and freeloading for 50 years? Kidding, but...
No, I knew I was coming back. I came here when I was in the Navy. I had an uncle who was an actual Benedictine monk from Elkhorn, Nebraska, and he sent me a couple of addresses. Father William wrote me back, and he sent me stamps and envelopes, and very encouraging.
Wow.
So I came here, and I fell in love with the place. It's really a beautiful place. And, of course, the monks, I fell in love with the monks.
Mm.
They were a down-to-earth group. Most of them were blue-collar. That's changing. Blue-collar workers seem to be rare today. So, but back then, they were carpenters and plumbers, and they built this place.
Gosh.
Wow.
But they were rough men. They were good Christian men, but they were rough and ready. You know, a lot of them were from the Second World War. They went through a lot, but they were very godly men.
One thing I find is so beautiful, if you go on a retreat, and I know, Allison, you went on a retreat there as well.
I did, a silent retreat years ago at the monastery.
You can really immerse yourself in the life. I mean, you guys are up at 4 o'clock in the morning praying Liturgy of the Hours. I'd love for you to share a little bit of the way of life for some of our listeners and how that touches visitors.
There's three aspects of our life is work, study, and prayer, and we try to balance that, to have balance, which is always somewhat difficult, and balance is different for each monk. You know, like, for instance, I do need a lot of time for solitude. It's probably because I work with the public and study and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Other monks may need more time for work, but it leads to a more balanced life. I think that the liturgy, of course, is very important to us. The Psalms really are a prayer of mankind to God. It's more than just a personal prayer. that when you're doing the Psalms with the group, you're representing, you know, all of mankind. Like with all the tragedy that's going on in the world, you almost feel like you're praying with and for the people, not taking sides. Just, you know, we're all children of God. You know, the deeper you go into a life of prayer, the more you realize your connection with people, and you don't have to identify them with religion or ideology. We're all children of God. So the liturgy allows us to bring everybody into the prayer, because, you know, the Psalms deal with every human situation. There's Psalms of joy, there's Psalms of hatred, there's Psalms of deep sorrow. And these are all human emotions that we go through. It's just anybody says they don't feel them, they're not really in touch with themselves. The human journey is dealing with all these powerful inner emotions, and prayer helps us to integrate them.
What does your typical day look like?
Well, we're all a little different. I like to get up a little early. 5 days a week, I get up at 2:30, so I can... Well, it's not that early here. Don't forget, we get up a quarter to four anyway.
Your rise time is my bedtime, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe when I was in college, but thank goodness, not anymore.
But so I like to go into the church at 3 for a holy hour, and then we have vigils. But on the days that I work in the infirmary, I sleep until 3, and then I get up at 3 and go up to the infirmary at 3:30. But 5 days a week, I like to get up then. And it's a nice touch for me. I'm not sure if I'm a night person or a morning person. It's very confusing.
Wow.
Because I try to get to bed before 9 o'clock, 8:30, so I get enough sleep. But once a week, I do take a day off so I can sleep in, you know. So it's a beautiful time of the morning for me for prayer, you know, before you start getting busy. And at my age, you know, I deal with fatigue a lot. So in the early morning hours, I'm not so fatigued. So, you know, I can, prayer comes a little bit more spontaneous for me at that time.
I know you're returning back to the chapel at least 5 times a day for prayer.
Yes, we have vigils, we have lauds, midday office, Vespers and Compline. Some monasteries have the 7 hours. We may go back to that, but in the past it just didn't work for us. So we got an indult. We could do that. But it's just our scheduling. It was very difficult for us to do that. But the 5 hours work really fine with us right now. In the future, we may change that. It all depends on how we can schedule it.
Well, brother, you know what's neat? So you're talking about all those different prayer times. When I was on a silent retreat there, I was able to join you all in the area the visitors could sit. And it was amazing just getting up super duper early, praying with you all. There's such a calm. There's such a peace when you're praying that early in the morning. It's just... you and the Lord. I recommend it. It's an amazing place. Or even just to go for a weekend with your family or by yourself, just to get away.
And you guys have a retreat coming up. I heard you sold it out because you're kind of a big deal.
Sold out.
But you're doing one this weekend on near-death experiences, right?
Yeah, I've been studying near-death experiences for over 40 years. It's a big interest to me. I think it's an important cultural phenomena. Near-death experiences have always been happening, but now we have the science to bring more people back. And they bring back what they went through, and they bring back veridical knowledge. You know, they leave their bodies, and they see what's going on, and it's actually true when they actually share it. So scientists, psychologists, philosophers, they're becoming more and more interested. You still have the skeptics, which is good. You need skeptics. And so I think it's a phenomenon that's bringing people to the reality of what life is about and what it's for. And if you're a Christian, it only deepens your faith in the love that God shows us through Jesus. Many people have these really profound experience of God's love.
If people are interested to find out more about the Trappist Monastery and the retreats and the incredible services they offer and even their gift shop, you can go to Trappist.net to find out all things about the Monastery of the Holy Spirit. Brother Mark, thank you so much for joining us and blessing us this morning.
We are so happy to have Father Adam from Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, back with us again. So, Father, good morning, and let's dive into the Word.
Good morning. So glad to be back. Today's Gospel, we're going back to the Gospel of Luke again. And today it says that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's the Our Father.
Yes.
Today we have the gift, Christ's gift to us of the Lord's Prayer.
It's the Spark Notes version of
It is the Spark Notes version, yes. So it's a little sparse there. It's the abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer. But nonetheless, it is still just as efficacious, just as glorious, and just as much grace to be had there. And I think what I'd like to talk today about is prayer and how, you know, Jesus gives us this Lord's Prayer. I think that every prayer that we say should model this prayer. Mm-hmm. And so if you look really closely, if you go deeper into this, into the actual words and what's being said here, you'll notice that there's really six things. And that sounds daunting at first, but I promise you they're very easy. we'll breeze through this. But there's kind of six things that model this prayer, that kind of formulate this prayer. It's first and foremost, you know, Father, hallowed be your name. There's this first, the sense of reverence. Mm-hmm. Okay. So our prayer should be reverent. There's your kingdom come. It's our desire of God's will, not our will. We're saying that, you know, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. What are we saying here? We're saying, you know, it's this a turn from the worldly in order to trust God more fully, that he alone provides for us. We're saying that, you know, give us each day that which we need. He says, forgive us our sins. You know, what are we really saying there? It goes back to what we've been saying for the past couple of weeks, humility. Right? We're asking for forgiveness. Well, to be able to ask for that forgiveness, we have to be able to humble ourselves, to ask for that mercy, because that God's mercy is something none of us deserve.
Yeah.
But it's this amazing free gift that he willingly gives to those who come before him, mm-hmm. you know, and that takes humility. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is in debt to us. And so what does our prayer do? Our prayer then leads us to not only accept God's mercy, but then express that love for God, a desire to instill that love deeper within us and within those we meet. Right. So we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. We want to be as merciful to others, as loving to others, as God is to us as well. And don't subject us to the final test. Lord, we're asking, we're praying that you always allow us to draw closer to you. So these six bullet points kind of frames not just the Our Father, but it should frame really all of our prayer. All of our prayer should be reverent. All of our prayer should desire God's will, should abandon the worldly, should, you know, enact this sense of humility and mercy and desire to love others. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful way to kind of start that formulating of prayer.
Well, you know, and looking at, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are called to forgive others so we can be forgiven ourselves. So even like the smallest things that might irritate us, you know, maybe with family members or friends, or if somebody's constantly late, we're called to forgive others, right? And if we can't forgive others, we're not going to have that same forgiveness that God gives us.
Hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
I keep a record. Just for the record.
He has a ledger.
Boy, humility.
And if someone ever crosses me, I just look at them and I go, that's one. And I write it down.
Yeah, you're going to pay those debts. No, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, you definitely want to strive, above all, that humility to forgive others. Mm-hmm. That forgiveness is key. I mean, that's a common theme throughout all of Scripture. Scripture is our calling to be merciful, to forgive. Recently, we had Father Ricardo come out with the Rescue Project.
Yes.
And we had this big retreat, and he came and he talked to all the priests for like a week. It was just, it was amazing, phenomenal.
Yes.
Wow. He had a room full of priests, and he had broken open the gospel in ways that many of us had never even heard.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. We're about to start his rescue project at our parish. We're going to do it for Lent, or leading into Lent. But the reason I bring him up, though, is you know, this, you know, you were talking, Allison, about how this need to, you know, always forgive those, no matter, you know, even the petty stuff. One of the things Father Ricardo had mentioned was that we're on this cosmic stage, and a lot of times we feel like it's us and God, and we forget that the third player, you know, the devil's there, you know, with the temptation, with the sin, with all these things. And so because we forget about him and we think it's just us and God, we think that our enemy becomes all these people who have offended us, all these people that are in debt to us. Father Ricardo had reminded us that's not the case. No human being ever born, ever will be born, has ever been your enemy.
Yeah.
The enemy, he says, the enemy is the enemy.
Yeah.
You know? And we're all in this together. Now, some of us struggle a little more than others, and that struggle is what Jesus knows so well.
Yeah.
And so he knows about temptation. He knows about sin. I mean, just falling short of falling into it, obviously, but he knows our struggle with prayer. And so that's why it's so important for him that he gives us this model of prayer so that he can say, okay, listen, I know your struggle. Here, take this prayer. You know, use this, model your prayers after this, you know, in those kind of that loose structure that I kind of laid out. because he knows how much we need this.
Amen. So it's really, in a way, a mission statement as well. I mean, it is a navigating post to live our lives by. More than just, I mean, we take it to prayer, but then, you know, throughout our lives, we should be governed by reverence, desire of God's will, humility, you know, a totally trust and abandonment, and as well as, you know, forgiveness, right? I mean, so it's kind of like this becomes hopefully not just a lens in which I, you know, communicate with God on my knees, but as well as a guidelight for how I conduct myself with God and others.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all of this is just that, like you said, a mission statement, a guide to ultimately lead us, you know, more deeply in love with Christ.
Yeah.
With God. And through the virtue of that, to be more Christ-like to others and to help lead them into that as well.
The last thing I'll say, I'll quickly echo this quote from St. Teresa of Avila. You talked about talking to God like a father. And this is interesting. She says, when we say our Father, we are reminded that we are brothers and sisters. We are called to love one another as God loves us. So to your point, that really, I think, again, accentuates that beautiful theme of forgiveness you gave us, Father.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Teresa of Avila is full of that. Yeah, she's awesome. It definitely models that sense of forgiveness, that sense of trusting, of humility, of reverence, of you know. And we really didn't dwell on it a lot here today, but just that desire of God's will. You know, your kingdom come. Mm. I think so. That, you know, that's another line that we kind of, it just almost becomes a throwaway line.
Yeah.
You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then we just kind of move. It's so easy to kind of just go through the motions of this prayer. But, you know, stop. Say this prayer. Say it methodically. Say it intentionally. There's your key word for the day, boys and girls. Intentionality.
Love that.
Pray intentionally, you know. Mean what you say and say what you mean. You know who said that? Mean what you say and say what you mean.
St. Teresa of Avila.
No, Popeye the Sailor Man. she said it too. I don't know. But yeah, be intentional with your words. Be intentional with your prayer. Make it reverent. Make it a desire of God's will over your own. You know, that abandonment of all these things, that humility and love.
Well, I think a takeaway can be focusing on the Our Father and really utilizing it how you've expressed it today.
Absolutely. I think that should be your takeaway today. Take that home, meditate on that, pray that Our Father intentionally. If you've just, you know, kind of through the motions in the past, maybe today take time to pray that, like you said, pray that very intentionally. And maybe even some of your own prayer. Look at your own prayers that maybe aren't the Our Father. You know, how do you pray and how does your prayer fit that kind of that framework of being reverent, of desiring God's will, of all these different things?
Well, I guess I have to throw away my record book. Boo-hoo. Until next time, Father, thank you for blessing us and all our Quest family.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's 8:26. This is the news. Hurricane Milton will make landfall along the west coast of Florida late tonight. Destructive, potentially catastrophic storm damage, very heavy rainfall, and a few tornadoes along the west coast will begin during the day. Today, if you would like to help victims of Helene and what looks like future victims of Hurricane Milton, you can go to CatholicCharitiesUSA.org. Now, this is a very tumultuous time with everything going on, so why not spotlight a positive story in the midst of all the hardship? From the National Catholic Register, especially fitting because Monday's gospel is about the Good Samaritan, modern Good Samaritans are hard at work on social media, even as families flee ahead of Hurricane Milton. One Floridian mayor even warned, evacuate or you will die. So Daniel Beasley of Forsyth, Georgia, posted on X, Florida evacuees, if you are headed north to escape the Category 5 hurricane coming in and need a safe place to be, I have 5 acres available just off I-75 north where we have Wi-Fi, a generator, laundry, parking, RV space, some electrical and water hookups. Pets and large animals, welcome. We can make it work. Just hit my DMs or reply below for directions. God bless. Be safe. And then he offered a very crucial point moments after his first post. All free, too. I think I forgot to write that part. This post has been viewed more than 7 million times with nearly 6,000 comments and 41,000 reshares. Then he posted, "I have to work today, but I will take off as soon as anyone shows up. Drive on the grass and find a shaded spot. DM me if this is your destination, and we will figure it out on the fly. God bless, be safe, and show patience in all this traffic, and know God loves you." Since this post went viral, other people in Georgia and Tennessee have been offering their acreage to campers and RVs. When someone commented, "You are amazing," he replied, "I'm just trying to get into heaven with my wife."
Wow.
That's cool.
Isn't that a cool story?
That is awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome.
I am very impressed and inspired as well. Chuckles. Chuck stop during Chucktober. Oh, boy. He's just, yeah, he's full of ground chuck.
You're just chuck full of jokes today.
I am. Well, we are with a great saint scholar. In all seriousness, he always blesses us with some heroic content. So, Chuck, who do we have today?
Oh, we've got a good one today. And I do have to tell you both, I really love the show.
Thank
you. I had a chance to tell you that.
Thanks so much.
You know, I really want to say that on the air. And, you know, like many, you've both quickly become a part of my mornings. You know, along with Dave Savage, and you know, Dave and I, we're like recliners. We go way back.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, I'll let you use it.
Well, I'm slipping you.
You don't need to write your material, I don't think.
Well, I'm slipping you a Benjamin Franklin under the table for that beautiful endorsement. Thank you, my good friend.
Yeah, I mean, the guests have been very enlightening. But what I've noticed is that many of your guests have been on, like, maybe once a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe once ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, whereas I am on every day.
You are?
And I think there's a lesson to be learned here. Talented people, smart people, they're in demand. Me, on the other hand, I am extremely available.
Yeah. Or extremely altruistic, because you keep giving us your time, talent, and treasure, because I'm going to ask you to donate to this station immediately after this sermon you're about to give us. No, I'm just kidding.
I've got about $4 in my checking account right now.
We'll take it.
Yeah. It's almost Friday.
We'll take it, and I'll give you a piggyback home.
All right. So it's going to be St. Denis today.
Really?
An early bishop of the church, a martyr who died with his companions. You know, he was born in Rome. We don't precisely know when, but we know that he did die in the year 258 in Paris. His feast day is today, the 9th, at least in the Western Church. The Eastern Rite celebrates him on the 3rd of October. He was believed to have been the very first bishop of Paris.
Paris?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, the bishop of Paris.
I did not know that.
It's an interesting bullet item to have on your resume, isn't it?
Wow, because, interesting, okay.
Yep, first bishop of Paris, and for that reason, coupled perhaps with the fact that he knew his way around a champagne menu, he is the patron saint of France.
Wow.
Mm. He's also venerated as one of the 14 Holy Helpers, which is another feast day on the calendar. And this is an assemblage of saints who were especially popular in the Middle Ages, primarily for their power of intercession. Now, according to St. Gregory of Tours, who wrote a book, The History of the Franks, Denis was one of the seven bishops sent to Gaul to convert the people under the reign of the Roman Emperor Decius at the time. And as we know,
I take it they didn't like that.
No, this evangelical efforts didn't go over so well back then. You know, it's a recurring theme. Have we noticed that? And especially in that time period. So he was ultimately martyred during the persecution of the Christians by Valerian, who was the Roman Emperor in the year that he died, 258. So, you know, there's, of course, a legend associated with St. Denis. I think you're familiar with this story, Josh.
Yeah.
I think you've been waiting for this one. You've been waiting for this, because for a comedian, there's a lot of material.
I mean, but he gets beheaded, right? And then apparently the story goes he walked for miles preaching with his head cut off.
In his arms, yes.
In his arms.
A good 5 miles. I can't walk 5 miles with my head on my neck.
I mean,
think about that.
Wow.
He walked 5 miles with his head in his arms.
But wasn't it showing that, wasn't it saying that the guardian angel was there with him, guiding him?
Yep. Legend has it.
Wow. And I've had some tough stand-up sets, but let me tell you, this guy, he takes the cake.
Yeah, have you ever had your head handed to you?
Literally. No.
That's like a sporting expression, right? When you lose a football game 42-0. Oh, we got our heads handed to us. This is taking it to the extreme.
That is spiritual tenacity right there. Now, I also heard that the Catholic Church, we don't, you know, don't think it always gets credit, but has a better sense of humor than you might think, because he is the patron saint of headaches. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Wow. Correct.
Well, let me tell you, I would be so pumped if I saw him as like the mascot for Tylenol.
Yeah. They see, there's so many endorsement opportunities that these early saints missed out on. This would have been just like such a no-brainer, a no-header, as they say, maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah. Now, again, another early church saint that we celebrate. So many of them on the calendar. Allison, yeah, I don't know if you have any quotes for St. Denis. He was way back when, but did you have something that you wanted to throw out there with regard to his early life and some of the trials and tribulations he faced?
Well, yeah, you know what? You know, since today is his feast day, you know, him and his companions, I mean, I say let's all ponder the depth of our own faith and how willing are we to go, you know, so as to embrace martyrdom rather than sin, because ultimately he chose to be martyred, right? Instead of sinning and not doing God's will. So let's all ponder also whether we are willing to forgive anyone and everyone who has sinned against us.
Yes.
These, you know, are the central messages of St. Denis's legend, you know, and let's allow those messages to penetrate our souls and how we can be more obedient to God and
absolutely, yeah,
and be true to who we are.
On the topic of forgiveness, and you know, Father John Ricardo's segment, who you can now hear on the station here at noon, he talks about the Our Father prayer specifically in terms of forgiveness. You've probably heard this, where he says, you know, when we say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, you know, there's no lost in translation thing here. As means as in the same way.
Correct.
So if we're not forgiving others, we're essentially asking God not to forgive us.
Correct.
And this guy in his, again, tumultuous experience became this springboard for evangelization. So you might think, oh, you get beheaded, that's it. But in God's economy, these kinds of experiences, this kind of martyrdom is always a setup for some grand eternal impact. So again, he played this huge role in the Christianization of France, and his cult following became popular across the country with churches, cathedrals, and statues dedicated to him throughout the century. So how many seeds has this guy been planting since his death? I mean, secular society looks at it as the end, and Christianity, it's just the beginning, not just for eternal life, but in fact, these people are having a greater impact on earth than when they actually were physically present here.
Yeah. And the saints that came from France, the ones that we've just recently talked about, St. Vincent de Paul, Louis the Ninth, and those are just two. There are so many French saints. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Catholicism has really grown and taken root in France. It's had its ups and downs, you know, in the year 2024. It's getting harder and harder to get that message through amongst the secularism. But, you know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith.
I was about to say that. Absolutely.
And if you are in France, you got to check out St. Vincent de Paul's church. It's super cool. Actually, a dear friend of mine, priest, said, you can go there. I'm just going to give you a heads up. Hardly anyone will be in there. I'm thinking, really? No way. And it's pretty close to St. Catherine of Labourie, where the miraculous medal was originated, and the vision of Mary seeded all that. But you go in there, and there he is above the altar, like way above the altar, body there, and yet such a small crowd in there. I mean, hardly anybody. I might have been one of a handful of people in there, and it's like, man, we're in the presence of something heroic here, and yet you just, sometimes, I don't know, a little can be underappreciated, I guess.
Yeah. And when he said he was going to give you a heads up, is that a nod to St. Denis?
There you go.
We have time to talk about the legend of Sleepy Hollow? I don't think so. We should Google that. Is that a New York thing, or do people know about the legend of Sleepy Hollow? The Headless Horseman? No?
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think they've made movies about it.
Okay.
Well, St. Denis is way cooler.
He should be the patron saint of Sleepy Hollow, New York.
St. Denis.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Oh, and we have a fun segment today, which is going to be particularly inspiring. Coming up, it's going... Just waiting for that music to wind down. We have a fun segment right now. Josh Harris here. Sorry, we're just getting our sea legs. And right now we are out reading out of this book, 1001 Ways to Be Kind. Have you been kind to yourself or somebody else today?
Yes, I have. And, you know, it's so cool. This book is so nice because they breaks it down in different ways of being kind. And so I was scrolling through it and I found self-kindness, because how easy is it in life for us to just get bogged down and not really focus and take care of ourselves? Because I always think of, you know, when Tim Shevlin was talking to us about our health, we've got to put our mask on first before we can help others. So,
absolutely.
So, and what a beautiful quote from Anne Frank: whoever is happy will make others happy too. I mean, how many people out there that are not happy are spreading joy and happiness? So,
yeah, joy is truly infectious. And there's one that you told me from that I really was inspired by. You said one suggestion that book had to offer was delete social media apps that are depleting to your energy, self-confidence.
Yes.
And, you know, because it's easy to get jealous and things on social media. I think that there's definitely, I mean, don't get me wrong, it can be used for tremendous good, and I've seen it have a blessed impact in my profession. However, we get into those places, too, where we're on social media and somebody is posting stuff and we get in this comparison trap where you're either better than or worse than, but either way, you still lose.
Yes.
In fact, I joke, but I was actually going to change one of my social media names to Nobody. Yeah. That way, one of my friends bragged about their 6-figure promotion, they could look underneath the post and realize nobody likes this.
Well, and seriously, when you're scrolling through, it's kind of, it just numbs you, right?
Yeah.
There are so many other things that we could be doing. So absolutely, if that is something you struggle with, delete a social media app, you know, that is taking away from your energy and your self-confidence. Another one that I see on here in regards to self-kindness, how about this? Name 3 things you are grateful for right now in this moment.
Oh, so this has been a blessing sometimes in my quiet time or holy hour, is you can literally breathe in, I love you, Jesus, mm-hmm. and breathe out, thank you, Jesus, for, and fill in the blank with something that you're grateful for. And I guarantee you, if you do that over and over for a set of time, or even just 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, there's going to be so much gratitude pouring out. I guarantee you, you're going to come out of that prayerful meditation different than when you started, better than when you started.
Well, and how about thank you, Lord, for another day, for mm-hmm. waking up? I mean, that is a gift.
Absolutely. Thank you for the radio show and the quest. We get to connect with you wonderful people every day.
No, we have a blast. We absolutely love it. Well, coming up, we are going to be speaking with Ruth O'Neill. She is going to be talking about boundaries in marriage. We are so happy to have Ruth O'Neill back again. She is a Catholic life coach and a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church. And we were blessed for her going over boundaries in general, what they are and what they aren't. We have her back today to talk about boundaries in marriage or any other boundaries regarding marriage. So welcome to the quest, Ruth.
Thank you for having me. And we get to talk about one of my favorite topics regarding boundaries, and that is boundaries in marriage. But what I would like to point out is that we're created for relationship.
Mm.
And so when we're talking about boundaries in marriage, really we can just say boundaries in relationships. It can be boundaries with your sibling. It could be boundaries with your wife. It could be boundaries with, your girlfriend or whatever it is, your boyfriend. But what it is it's a relationship.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that we can really spend some time during this segment talking about boundaries in relationships. How's that?
I think that sounds perfect because we all are in relationships, in many yes. different relationships.
This doesn't apply to any of the hermits that are listening, but everybody else.
Now, I have to say, you know, obviously marriage is a unique relationship. There are some unique challenges when it does come to marriage. And so, you know, when we come together as one of the things that I think is important to make note of, and this is any relationship, but particularly marriage, is that we have to have 2 whole, complete humans to be able to come together and make one.
Wow.
I know there's like these famous sayings, oh, you complete me, or you make me whole, or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever that might be. That's not true.
Yeah.
We need to be whole in as much as possible, being human and all.
Yeah.
But as much as possible, being whole before we come together and become one. So that, I think, is probably what makes marriage so incredibly unique, is that we are called to come together and be one flesh, to be one, to be united in a very special way. But we've got to be individuals before we can come together. And we never use our individuality either. We never lose it, I mean. So that's something to note as well.
Well, let me ask you this, Ruth. You know, hearing that, ideally, it would be wonderful to come together as two, you know, individual whole people. What about those that might be struggling in relationships, or maybe, you know, when they did get married, you know, they weren't whole individually and they're married now? What kind of hope do you have to share with them?
So the hope that I have is that it's never too late to learn.
Amen.
Ever. And so if you are willing, that's like the number one thing. If you're willing to learn, if you're willing to practice a mutual respect for one another's individuality and each other's boundaries, and if you're willing to practice reciprocity, meaning I honor your yes and your no, you honor my yes and my no, it's all possible.
And humility, it sounds like humility, just knowing that we are not perfect.
Yeah, I am who I am. I am who I'm not. Both are beautiful because I was created in the likeness and image of God. The more real we are, I think the more real our relationship can be. Yeah.
So it's really about authenticity as well. Knowing who we are. And also, I would say, within a Catholic context, like whom we are, you know, whom we're made for. And I just think that is such a key. And I don't know, as a Catholic life coach, if that is a different dynamic that you throw into the picture. But I heard it put really beautifully, especially within the context of marriage, is to know Christ and make him known within that unit, right? I mean, so within, let's just say, a marital context, but I'm sure you can expand it to other, you know, relational facets. Where do you see Christ is, you know, strengthening that bond, or, you know, and especially with clients you might work with? Is that a talking point sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. The further away from Christ we get, the further away from reality we get, the further away from truth, the further away from balance and peace. I liken it to, I might be actually betraying my age here, but did you ever remember those playground apparatus where it was like this big circle and you just spin?
Yes.
And yeah, okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Ruth.
Okay. It's like this crazy merry-go-round thing, but the closer you stayed toward the center, the safer you were. The further away from the center you got, the more likely you were going to fly off.
Correct.
And that is like the center is Christ, right? So that, I love to use that analogy. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. I think that's beautiful. 100%. It's so interesting too. I mean, I just think about how prayer and, you know, focus, like just a sacramental rhythm, is just critical in every relationship, especially the one with God. And a friend of mine who I do some mentorship recently was confiding in me just how agitated and restless he felt. And somewhere in the conversation, he just said, oh, yeah, and I just kind of stopped praying. And this is someone who is a pretty, you know, faithful Catholic. And so for whatever reason, he got so busy in service towards other people, talk about boundaries, that he was negating his own, you know, just spiritual requirements for peace and passion and purpose. So I basically just said, hey, I don't care about anything we were just talking about. I don't care about whatever you were venting about, because that's the problem. Like, take two of those, right? Like, you know, hit your knees and stay in that sacramental rhythm, and let's chat and, you know, whatever. And it, again, got into the prayer rhythm again, got back into his regular mass schedule. And, you know, I just met with him recently. I don't know if it's a couple of weeks later, but totally different person. And so sometimes I think you've pointed out that for me to be the most relationally effective, I have to have, it's a top-down experience. I have to have that relationship solidified first.
Amen. Yes, we were created for relationship, and the first relationship we were created for is with our Creator, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes, in as much as that one, I'm a big visual person.
Yeah.
So I think of the cross, actually. What we have to do first is we've got to get the vertical post set firmly.
Hmm.
And the only way we can put that horizontal post on that vertical post, that's where all the hard stuff is, right, is on that horizontal post, because that's the world, that's the relationship, that's work. That the only way that can be firmly set is if the vertical post between me and my Lord is set firmly.
Hmm.
So boundaries have to be in place. Effective boundaries have to be in place. And notice the last time we guys that we talked, that we talked about boundaries actually being in place to protect our property,
mm-hmm.
and time being some of our property, our relationship with God being some of our property, right? And so if boundaries don't exist, well, our time and our relationship with God is going to leak all over the place and be non-existent.
Yes.
Amen.
So there, you just proved our point, Josh, by reminding us with that beautiful story that without boundaries, our relationship with God is likely the first thing to take the hit.
Wow, what a poignant note to end on, Ruth. Thank you so much for reminding us that timely and timeless message. We look forward to chatting with you next time and continuing this beautiful conversation.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
Well, parting is such sweet sorrow. I'm going to miss you guys. I hope you miss me too. But guess what? I'll be hanging out with you tomorrow.
I won't be.
Well, now you really bum me out, Dave.
Gosh, Dave.
Dave is tendering his resignation on air.
No, he's not. Dave, where are you going to be?
I'm going to see my sister and brother in Raleigh.
Nice.
So I'm going to take a long weekend. And we've got John over here. What people probably don't know is that I kind of run everything here. I'm like the Wizard of Oz, kind of behind the scenes,
yes,
doing all the stuff. We got John over here doing it now, so John's going to be handling it for the next couple days.
Yay, John!
Yay, John Fennell, one of our heroic collaborators, volunteers, I guess you would say.
He's a volunteer, yes.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades.
Let me tell you, this guy is earning major heaven bucks right now. John,
we love him.
You are a saint in the making. Maybe already one. We'll see. I don't know if that counts. But, hey, Allison, you got any big plans today?
Well, you know, what am I doing today?
Well, is there anything you might be watching today on our wonderful
program? I'll be listening.
Program?
I will listening? Be listening. Okay. Absolutely. So, yeah, after our show, Teresa Tomeo is going to be on. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, is going to be providing latest information on election news. Joan Lewis, this is always an interesting part of her show, has the inside scoop on all the most recent Vatican news articles and what's going on at the Vatican. More to Life will be on at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Taming That What Ifs. Is Anxiety Your Constant Companion? The Pop Checks will help you break free from that. And also today, tune in at 11 o'clock for our Family Room, our local show. The guest is Anna Sonata, a licensed social worker and author of Duck, Duck, Groom. She will share the great insights on how to protect our children from child sexual abuse.
Praise God. That is a message that needs to be perpetuated. Well, as usual, we love you guys. Thank you for being a part of our family. And I think we're closing in on week 3 of on-air experience with you wonderful people. So let's close the right way. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow at 8. God bless you all.
Have a great day.